Hi, folks. Welcome to A Different Direction. We cover stories of the strange, document the weird, stuff like that. I'm Dave.
I'm Diana.
And today we're talking about episode 14 of The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr., Mail Order Brides.
This title's big yikes.
It's absolutely a big yikes, but...
It actually ended up being a totally mostly fine episode.
Yeah.
Enjoyable, awesome. Even, mm-hmm. I might add.
Yeah, agreed.
But this title.
The title is a yikes. But, and I mean, honestly, the fact that it's about mail order brides, it's like actually about that.
It's true.
So,
like, they have really creative chapter names on the show, but then refuse to have a creative actual title for the show. They're just like, I don't know, Briscoe does a thing.
I mean, to be fair, unless they use the title. As the title of the episode, as the title of the chapter, sometimes you wouldn't actually know the title of the episode.
We all knew because we all subscribed to TV Guide.
Did we? Did we all?
Yeah. Just came free with your paper that you subscribed to help the local economy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we did subscribe to the local paper.
Yeah, did it not have, like, a TV guide in it?
I mean, it had TV listings, so that wasn't the TV guide.
Yeah, but it was a guide for TV.
Fair, yeah.
Remember? And what is the TV guide, if not mostly TV listings? Yeah, okay, it does have that... Okay, I couldn't remember... single name of a celebrity, and I couldn't think of any. It was just like mashing names together in my head, and I was like, Truman Osmond. You know, that big star we all loved,
mm-hmm.
that had just interview after interview and TV Guide.
Right, of course, that was super common.
Yes, we all know that time.
He was the star of Philby. We were so excited for that show, and then it just never took off. So I know we're already getting really detailed about this episode, but before we really go any further with all of the like detailed commentary that we're doing on definitely about this episode right now,
mm-hmm.
I want to mention, remind people. That you can message us on Twitter at @DiffDirectionPod and email us at differentdirection@tgifrk.com. Anyone wants to do that, that'd be great. We don't have any messages this week. I also want to mention, this show doesn't have the same built-in audience that our previous podcast did from like just all the Adam and Fraser fans. So it helps a lot if you, I guess you follow podcasts now on Apple, like on iTunes. But also,
I thought you meant like stalking, and no. I was like, no, thank you.
No, but you know, reviews and stuff helpful. Even if
follow your favorite podcasters around.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. But I mean, online, like do the follow things, follow the social medias and such.
Nailing it.
But yeah, like, you know, subscribing, writing reviews, that kind of stuff is helpful. Tell your friends if you like what you're hearing. Appreciate that. Trying to get the word out.
I think the best way someone could help us is if they wrote a ska song about the podcast.
I mean, that would be personally very helpful.
I think that No Doubt should get back together. Don't know if they're not together now. But they should reunite or make a new song,
mm-hmm.
as go back to the roots, mm-hmm. A Tragic Kingdom.
Oh, I thought you were talking about No Doubt, not the roots. Nobody can see that face. They don't know.
I know, but I'm trying to.
Sorry.
Fine. I realize that's just like too big and too grand and too cliche. Frankly, I'm disappointed in myself.
Okay.
I just want everyone's garage ska music in my sweet ear holes.
Yeah. Yeah. If somebody did write a ska song about us, that would be incredible. That'd be literally the greatest thing that's happened in my life, probably.
Wow.
Don't even pretend it wouldn't be the greatest thing that's happened in your life also.
I already have the greatest thing in my life.
Did someone already write you a ska song?
Yeah. No! All right, let's talk about Briscoe.
Okay. There's actually, so writers on this episode, there's actually three writers listed. So the story is by, again, don't know how to say his name, Tom Chihak, who wrote No Man's Land and Steel Horses. So last week's episode. But the actual, like, teleplay is by David Simpkins, who, again, or later would become the producer on Freaking Links, and also wrote Briscoe for the Defense and Showdown, and John Wirth, who wrote Deep in the Heart of Dixie. So yeah, three people credited as with writing credits on this one. Director on this one is Michael Schultz, who hasn't directed an episode of this before.
Isn't that the person that does Peanuts?
That's Charles Schultz.
Oh.
Yeah. This is the director of Crush Groove, the 80s movie about a hip-hop label starring Run-DMC and the Fat Boys and New Edition. He also directed the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band movie, Grease Lightning, which is a biopic about the first black stock car racer to win in a NASCAR race.
Oh.
Yeah. And he also directed a bunch of TV movies of the young Indiana Jones.
Is that one season?
I think it actually is, but there's also like made for TV movies and such. But yes, the Adventures of Young Indiana Jones, I believe, is one season long.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I think it's actually on our list.
Okay.
But it's one of those long ones, so it's got to, I think that'll be further down on the list for now.
Yeah. Okay.
When we've had a good run of doing like six episode shows that are done in no time, maybe we'll head to that one. Did you have any content warnings on this one?
I mean, I don't think so.
Yeah, I didn't really either.
I mean, there's some tense moments where you're like, this could go bad.
Yeah.
But it doesn't ever push the lot like
yeah
into that place where I'm like, I don't like that.
Yeah. I mean, the basic plot of this is about like women escaping definitely bad situations back home, but there's nothing like really explicit or detailed about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like something's bad. I don't know. But yeah, I wouldn't.
I do think there's a lot of talk about why would you marry somebody you don't know? You're such a fine woman or whatever. But they go into that in the episode, actually.
Right.
Sort of the circumstances. And I also think that Briscoe is very kind and understanding.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, it's actually a lot of nuance in this episode.
Yeah. It is a remarkably nuanced episode, considering how worried we both were when we saw the title Mail Order Brides. It was oh, this could go real bad.
Well, we just saw last season how you make other Germans feel at home.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, like, that was silly and over the top, and this is not what this episode is.
Right. Yeah.
It's more, like, serious.
I mean, there are some very silly moments, but that
is treated... Of course it's silly.
Yeah, I mean, that is treated more, like, with more nuance than what's happening. Yes, in some of the other
and
episodes.
And then, like, stealing motorcycles.
Right, right. Okay, so then I guess let's spoil this episode. Do you have a recap, or do you want me to recap?
You can recap.
Okay. So we start with Briscoe and Buller having a nice sleep, get ruined by a runaway wagon. Runaway wagon that has three ladies tied up in the back of it. Briscoe does a standard runaway wagon rescue, but ends in a non-standard head bonking. I don't know why. It doesn't really make any sense. We find out that there's a like serial pamphlet stories about Briscoe County Jr. That are really popular back east because one of the women that was tied up, Sally, knows all about him. Thinks he knows. She knows exactly who Briscoe is. This is going to come up a lot. Meanwhile, turns out these women are all mail order brides who are going to meet their husbands. But they just got robbed by the Swill brothers, which is who Briscoe and Buller were trying to capture. So now they don't have any money, but Briscoe and Buller are going to escort them to their town. Meanwhile, the King of Spain is giving a bull to the mayor of Madrid, California. That's a thing that's going to happen, and the Swill brothers are going to steal it. Socrates, for some reason, is in charge of making sure the bull is taken care of. That's just a thing that's happening. So, Briscoe and Buller bring the brides to Preacher's Head, which is the town they're going to, but because they don't have their dowries, they can't get married. Luckily for them, sort of, the Swill brothers are there. They just happen across them in a tavern. Because of that coincidence of running into them, they get into one little fight, and the sheriff gets scared. He says, "You're moving in with Buller and the others in jail." Sends them to jail, but the brides bail them out. Brides bail them out on the condition that they bring them along when they're catching the Swill brothers.
You can't just like go into a rap and then just like continue on like I wasn't just rapping.
I don't know what you're talking about. Back in Madrid, California, Señor Mendoza shows up and is checking out the town to make sure that the prized bull that's coming there is going to be taken care of well. And he thinks they're not doing a very good job of it. And Socrates is like, guess we'll do a better job. Back to Briscoe and Buller and the brides. They're going after the Swill brothers. And the brides don't want to make camp, even though it's raining, but Briscoe and Buller do. And so Briscoe and Buller make camp, and the brides keep going. And then Briscoe and Buller go after the brides. And that the end of that section. That's just, I really enjoyed this episode, but some of the stuff just sort of happens. And almost nothing comes of that except a bit of respect for Briscoe as like, maybe not a bad man. Even though it was Bowler's idea to go after them. Meanwhile, after the back to the Swill brothers. Swill brothers go back home because their ma has a cattle wagon, which they need to be able to bring the bull somewhere. So they go there to get that. That just happens, and then they leave with the cattle wagon very shortly after. The Briscoe and folks, Briscoe et al., show up at right behind them to Ma's homestead. And the Ma and the crew capture them. It's going to do a firing squad, but Briscoe goes full Bugs Bunny and manages to hatch a plan to escape with a cigar and an exploding stream of moonshine. And they get away, and that's it. They get away. End of scene. Back to Madrid, California. Bull is being delivered. Yeah, everything's fine. We're real happy with where this pen is. It's very well guarded. It's well enclosed. Everything's fine. And so the Swill brothers obviously are able to rob it immediately because it was being guarded by NPCs. Should have put a named character out there. Put NPCs out there.
It probably would have been Socrates.
It probably would have been Socrates. That's true. The Swill brothers get in there, but they don't know what they're going to do. And so in the meantime, that gives Briscoe and friends time to make it to town. And they find out what's going on. Sally gets kidnapped. And now the Swill brothers are like, give us $1 million or we'll kill the bull and this lady. And so Briscoe goes in to negotiate, saves the day by getting, saves Sally, releases the bull. The Swill brothers are on the run. The bull goes into a china shop, laughs ensue. One of the Swill brothers gets taken out by two of the brides, Sally and Caitlin. Briscoe manages to get the bull into the other bad pen that was made. I don't know if I even mentioned there was a previous bad pen and then there was a good pen. It gets him into the bad pen. Meg, the third bride, knocks out the last Swill brother. The day is saved. The King of Spain gives the ladies all medals. Briscoe and Bowler, like a collective Chewbacca, don't get medals. Everybody likes Briscoe and Bowler. The end. Oh, a contractually obligated kiss happens. Forgot to mention that. Gotta have that in there. Credits.
Wow, wow!
Is that, did I get most of the major points?
Yeah, you even got some extra ones.
Some extra ones. So what should we talk about?
We just talked about everything. End of episode.
I feel like you make that joke every time we do a recap, though.
That's the first time I've made that joke. What are you talking about? Okay. To bring up, okay, why is Socrates there to take care of this bull?
Because there.
And also, what is the name of this mayor? It sounds like Mayor Dix.
It is Dix. The first time Socrates says it, it sounds like Diggs.
It's not Diggs.
No.
It's okay. But the mayor is not, you know, when we see the mayor first and he's making a barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
It did not occur to me he was making this barbecue sauce for the bull gift.
Right. It's not, I don't think it's meant to be obvious, but yeah. Yeah, he's just like making a barbecue sauce in the middle of the street. And it's like, why?
Well, that's... I mean, that happens. That's well, yeah. Called a campsite.
Fair. Yeah, when they were, he was, it was before he actually said that they were going to eat the bull, but then he was talking about how they make, like, you know, Lightning Ed, who was going to build the bull's, like, pen, had built this spit really quick. I was like, wait, why is there a spit? Why did they build a spit real quick? Why do they need to build a real quick spit? I was like, are they going to eat this bull?
They need a spittoon.
Right, of course. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Socrates says he's the governor's advance representative, is what it says.
What is that?
I don't know. It's... he works, he's just a lawyer that works for some robber barons. I don't understand why you would be the governor's advanced representative for when this bull shows up. Except, unless you consider, like...
Well, the governor, the attorney general, like, always has stuff going on with them.
True. But that's because they're working directly with the, like, a bounty hunter that's trying to catch, like, the biggest criminal there is, I guess. So... I guess I get some connection there. By the way, I believe... So, you commented when we were watching, and I also noticed it, that in the opening credits thing, or, like, as they're, like, in the opening sequence when there's still, like, credits showing, it says, special appearances by Mark and Brian.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, I believe this mayor, Mayor Dix, is one of the... I believe the sheriff is one of them, and the mayor is one of them. They're an L.A. radio show,
of course,
like duo. They're Carlos and the Chicken. I don't know if they're anything like Carlos and the Chicken, but they're an LA radio duo known as Mark and Brian, so that's why they're credited that way.
But uh-huh.
it's just like a little cameo by them.
How cool would it have been a cameo was in this?
it would have been
I would have loved that. I mean, I don't know what they would have been doing, but...
I don't know. Whatever he wants.
Is that just like... It's not just... A cameo is a group, right?
I guess...
It's not just like a single artist?
I thought it was the guy, but maybe it's a group. I'm not sure.
Hi, I'm Mr. Cameo.
No, I mean, I thought that was like his stage name is Cameo, but...
I know, but...
Maybe it's a band. I don't know.
I don't know either. Okay. I love this callback to the Swill brothers, mm-hmm. because we see that the one brother didn't make it.
Right. He got a rocket exploded on him on a tank. Like, he was in a tank that got exploded by a rocket, so I didn't think he had made it, but...
Well, I mean, it's a good callback.
Yeah.
Half the people have already come back because of the orb.
Right.
So...
Yep. Yeah, like, the Swill brothers still trying to make it as a gang, even though the one guy that had any brains in their family is dead. They're just like, well, I don't know, we'll make it work.
But, that does seem to be what it is, yeah. But it's a little weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they hatch this plan to, like, steal this bull that they know is coming into town because the paper has mm-hmm. has an article, and... The brother right away brings up a very good question, is how do we prove the cost of this $1 million bull?
Mm-hmm.
And they just say, like, obviously, we just give them our word.
Yeah. No, it's the mom who says that. She's the one who's like, how are you going to sell $1 million? How are you going to prove that it's this $1 million bull?
No, I thought they say that in the, like, restaurant. And then
The brother is asking, who are we going to sell it to? And he's like... I don't know, a dentist. Who do you think we're going to sell it to? He's like, oh, a cattle rancher. But it's the mom who brings up, like, how are you going to prove it's this $1 million bull?
Because it's going to have a crown.
It is a royal bull. It is, what is it called?
It's like El Magnifico.
El Quinto Magnifico.
I thought it was actually the other way around.
Well, so... I saw it written.
The mayor, I just assumed, said it wrong.
Maybe.
And
then
Senor...
Mendoza?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do we think about his whole deal?
It's odd.
Like, I can't tell if they're making fun of him or...
Yeah, because...
What is... I get this. This is my content warning.
Yeah, this is definitely weird, because when he shows up, he's speaking very good English. It's just that he pronounces all of his S's like with a TH sound, and Socrates makes a comment that he's, like, obviously Castilian, because that's his accent, like, because that's how you say it if you have that accent, but he then seems very confused that he's seemingly saying his S's strangely,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, so, is he, and also there's that one point where he says the word slats, like flats, and Socrates doesn't understand what he's saying.
I know, and it's just like,
yeah.
Why is that funny?
I don't, right, like, I'm not sure.
I feel like it's almost referencing something that has not stood the test of time.
I mean, that's, like, definitely a thing where, like, that's definitely part of that accent, because, like,
I have never heard of this accent.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely have, because that's, like, people will say, like, Barcelona is how you're actually supposed to say it.
Uh-huh.
Because it's, you know, in that region, and, like, that's how it's pronounced.
Uh-huh.
It's not Barcelona, it's Barcelona.
Oh, interesting.
But there's definitely a joke being made here, and it's not really clear, I guess, like, who's the butt of the joke. Like, is there a butt of the joke, and who is it in this situation?
So
it definitely feels weird, and, like, it feels like they wouldn't have made that joke today, but I don't know if it's because they wouldn't do it because it's offensive, or they wouldn't do it because people would be asking these questions of just being like, well, I'm not sure what the joke is here and why.
Yeah.
So.
Well, 2022 has never been further away from cowboys. Because you're saying if they made the show today.
Yes.
Which only went one season, the very reason why it's on our show.
Yeah.
I just don't think they would be making a cowboy show right now.
Well, fair. But
they do. I guess they have been. I know of other Western shows they've made, but mm-hmm. recently.
I Oh, I mean, yeah, I guess there's some.
Yeah, there's always like a new Western movie that comes out.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a new twist on it.
Yeah.
What other things? I want to make sure we talk about things that I made notes about.
Okay.
Oh, Bowler is like really into taking care of these brides now.
Yep.
Despite being hit in the head with a frying pan earlier.
Yeah.
For no reason.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, I mean, I know they could have been in shock. Mm-hmm. Probably were in shock.
Yeah.
And they're seeing like two people that could just very easily just be more Swill brothers.
Yeah.
Going after them.
Yeah. I will say this moment in this episode made me worried about this episode. Because, yeah, they're, like, tied up in the back of a runaway wagon.
Yeah, but it's almost like she conks him on the head because she likes him. Because isn't it Sally?
No, I think it's Meg that hits him.
Oh, well, whatever. Meg was the one to me.
Well, she's the sort of, like, tougher leader kind
She's boring.
Well, I'm just saying, like, this whole moment is very weird because they, like, managed to, like, you know, they're in this wagon. It's running. It's, you know, running wild. They're all tied up in the back. Briscoe manages to stop it. And it seems like once he stops it and gets it in the back to start untying them, they start screaming louder, like they're scared of the guy who just stopped them and is untying them.
Well, I mean, that happens.
And then as soon as they're untied, one of them hits Bowler in the head with a pan. And
well,
like,
they didn't. They just acted. They're going to ask questions later.
I guess swing pans and ask questions later. That's fair.
That's what my t-shirt says.
Yep. Yep. It's good advice.
Oh my God. I kind of forgot about this part.
Yes.
Okay. So like when they end up in the Brandon Tavern, and the big fight happens mm-hmm. with the Swill brothers.
Yep.
And the person just goes flying onto their table. Oh, yeah. After the like first they're just people. As soon as this brawl breaks out, and I'm not even totally sure how it happens,
mm-hmm.
just everyone starts punching everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a man that just flies across the tavern. No rhyme or reason. Yeah.
Almost nothing has happened in this fight at the moment this guy flies across the table.
Punched straight across the room.
It doesn't even feel like he got punched. I feel like nobody in that area has punched anyone yet. Just a man flies across the room and crashes into the Swill Brothers table for no apparent reason. Like, this
He's
is
into extreme table sports.
Like
tabletop games.
Like, I don't know actually if I've ever seen the movie Blazing Saddles the whole way through, but this feels like if there was a bar fight in Blazing Saddles, where it would just be like one person would do a thing and then suddenly everybody's jumping across tables and things for no apparent reason. Like, it's a parody of a Western bar fight. Because it's,
I mean,
just like,
yeah,
like this guy, because it's just like,
yeah,
someone over there shot and then somebody dove on a table.
Okay, we don't know where the orb is in this episode.
It's under this tavern.
It's like controlled that person.
It could be. One thing I do like in that fight is because the fight gets kicked off when Will Swill sees Briscoe and he like pulls a gun and shoots at him, and but because of the way he does that, he ends up aiming right, having his gun right next to Phil's ear.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he shoots, Phil like lurches back and is like holding his ear and screaming in pain. So this whole fight's happening, and the entire time Phil is just holding his ear and yelling. He never is involved in the fight. He's just crashing around the fight, yelling in pain the entire time. Like, there's all this chaos happening, but you can see him just the whole time never actually fighting, only just holding his ear and reacting. And then for the rest of the episode, he's got his ear bandaged up.
Mm-hmm.
Because clearly, like, hurt
him. I thought
he
had, like, a fake ear like a clay ear.
I mean, he could have. It's entirely possible.
I just want to say, in this fight,
mm-hmm.
they end up punching the sheriff of the mm-hmm. town, and that's why, like, Briscoe and Bowler end up in jail.
Yeah.
And also, this randomly happens because, of course, the three brides are gonna, like, get them out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, we need to follow the Swill brothers because we need to get our dowry back, and you're gonna help us, and we're going with you.
Yep.
And we'll pay you, but that, you know, so strange.
It is.
But I mean, a lot of things just kind of happen in this episode, yeah. so the story can happen, and yeah. it's fine.
Yeah. But there's a lot that has to happen in this episode where it just kind of goes, well, this has to happen, so we're just gonna do it.
Yeah, which is not usually great, but I forgive it in the show. And, like, right. I really enjoy, like, Lord Bowler when they went to their fancy mine shaft for their, you know, I almost said birthday party. I meant to say slumber party.
Uh-huh.
And the Bowler's like, they're going to be out there all lost and alone.
Yeah.
And,
he's so worried about these brides.
But he's also like, but, you know, we should just go to bed. We should just, like, we'll just stay here. And
that's such a guilt trip. He's so guilt trips Briscoe into going.
I know, because he doesn't know how to say it.
Yeah. And then, which is, I will say, makes it a little weird that I feel like Briscoe gets the, credit for being the, like, valiant one who decides to go out and help them.
He, okay, almost gets shot at. Well, no, yeah. he is shot at. And just... then falls into the mud.
Mm-hmm.
The worst thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, okay, they are so covered in mud and, like, wet mm-hmm. in the scene. And then... nothing else happens.
Totally fine, totally dry.
No one cares. It's like, why did this even happen?
Yeah. It literally, the only reason to have the brides go off alone, the scene with Briscoe and Bowler talking about it, them going out to find the brides again, showing the brides being lost, the shooting, the falling, all of that, is only, the only point of doing all of that is to show Meg that not all men are bad all the time. That's it. Like, that's, like, the only thing, is she just assumes all men are always bad and always selfish all the time. And the fact that they went out to go look for them shows that sometimes men not bad.
Hey, look, sometimes men aren't bad.
Right.
You know that. Yeah. 1 out of 100 times.
Right, yeah. I mean, I agree, but it's just a weird...
No, I think it's sort of to show, like, the softer side of Bowler, and, like, it is weird when Briscoe's, like... I mean, I know he's stubborn, but it doesn't really make sense that... I guess just because he's tired and he mm-hmm. knows that they're not going to make it...
Yeah.
That they should rest. I mean, you yeah. should rest instead of walking in the rain.
Yes, absolutely. Like, that's absolutely the right thing. Like, because Meg's whole thing is like, oh, I thought you were, like, the best. You're the best trackers and the best at finding people and everything. Like, that's why we hired you to do this, you know. So, obviously, we keep going. And it's like, yeah, they're the best. So, if they're saying wait, you wait. Like, that... You hire somebody if you think they're the best, because if they know what they're doing. So if they say to wait, you wait.
You don't wait, Dave. You just keep going.
Yeah.
And you fall in the mud.
Yeah, right. It's obviously the better choice. Just go off
and
randomly.
And maybe someone will help you.
Right. Obviously the best idea.
It works in this episode. I don't really know why.
It doesn't really work.
I don't know. They cut out something. Probably some cool part with Comet.
That's probably true. It's probably true.
Now we're going to talk about the bull for a while.
We will. I said one thing I wanted to mention, which is just that when we, you know, when we first meet them, we find out about the pamphlets that are all like telling the adventures of Briscoe County Jr.
Are they not comics?
They might be, whatever. I don't know what you call them. They're like little, they're little paperbacks.
They're little zines.
Yeah. That's why I said they were serials earlier, because I feel like that's what they are, is they're little like mini adventures or whatever. And I really like that the only one that we see is, well, first, I like that it's called The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. I do enjoy that that's the title of the series.
Mm-hmm.
But also that one of them is, the one that we see is Utah Johnny Montana Meets His Peacemaker. By N.L. Scrimshaw. I just enjoy the name N.L. Scrimshaw.
I remember his episode on Frasier.
But I just love that it's the one about Utah Johnny Montana. Basically, it's the comic of the episode that we watched.
Mm-hmm. Well, I also like when, oh, they say why he wants to go to the cave, and they say, like, he gets headaches, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or is that why?
It's after. Because they say Briscoe's going to take, Bowler says Briscoe's going to take first watch. And Sally's like, yeah, he doesn't sleep ever because, you know, he has bullet fragments in his brain from when the Swole brothers shot him and he gets terrible headaches. And Bowler has to be like, he got shot in the back and he sleeps. Like, what are you talking? Like, no, absolutely.
Look.
Yeah.
Look, you have not read.
Yeah.
The real juicy stuff.
Yeah. Look, I know about Comet the Wonder Horse, which is what he's apparently called in these stories. Bowler's Briscoe's faithful companion.
I mean, I do like Bowler's, like, it's more like Briscoe's my companion.
Mm-hmm. Of course he's going to say that.
Well, yeah. I feel like they're also just on the same level.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. Is
like a companion makes it. I mean, a companion maybe is right, but I'm also like, they're together.
When
they're a duo.
In those stories, when people say companion, they mean sidekick. And I don't think it's fair. Like, and that's the thing. Bowler keeps being treated like Briscoe's sidekick. And
anyone's a sidekick, it's Socrates.
Oh, Socrates is absolutely a sidekick. But then the Robin.
Oh, Socrates.
Yeah.
What's Bowler?
Well, he's being treated like Robin. But he's as capable as Batman.
So it's two I'm Batmans.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay, so two Batmans.
It's a multiverse Batman situation.
Got it. I mean, they're both kind of gloomy.
Are they?
Yeah.
Bowler gloomy?
Yeah, he loves to do a pout. He loves to pout.
I mean, he does pout. I'll give you that.
It's not like real, like, he just likes to complain, but he's like a softie.
Yeah. I'm saying, I don't feel like Batman's a softie.
No, but Bowler's Batman is.
Okay, that's fair.
In the Bowlerverse.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. Do we want to talk more about the brides?
Well, yeah, what do you want to say about the brides?
I mean, they're the whole point of the episode, mm-hmm. But one of them, I, like, barely know. She's just the one that had her hair cut.
I was literally going to say, yeah, the like, the personalities are, like, Meg, tough, headstrong, the leader of the group, really, like, taking care of everybody. Sally, you know,
a bit
knowledgeable,
psychic.
Kind of, yeah, a little nerdy, loves a book. Sally had hair.
What's the medal she gets from the king or whatever?
What does she get?
It's the has hair medal.
Sally got the Medal of Valor.
See? That sounds good.
No, Sally. Sorry.
Sally's the other one.
Sally's the nerdy one. Caitlin is the one that had hair. She gets the Cross of Iron.
What's that mean?
Lots. So, I feel like multiple countries have, like, Iron Cross-type medals. I'm glad they called it the Cross of Iron, because the phrase Iron Cross is definitely more frequently used in as a Nazi symbol and used by, like bikers and groups like that that are definitely into Nazis. So I think that's why they said the Cross of Iron and not the Iron Cross. But, like, the Iron Cross isn't exclusively that, but it's when you hear it now, that's how it's being used.
Oh, when there's also, like, a kind of, like, ominous sound to it, like, go to the Iron Cross.
Well,
and, like,
yeah.
You, it's like a tomb you open. It's like the chokey.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't think you, if you haven't seen the movie Matilda, get on it. But yeah. Also, the chokey, just like people understand what that means. Do they?
No. If you don't know Matilda, then you're not going to know what the chokey
really?
Is. Really? Because it's like a more of an Iron Maiden, but you never, that's never called the chokey.
Oh, no.
Outside of Matilda.
Of course not.
So if you don't know Matilda, I don't
think
you know.
You can call it an Iron Maiden. It's like at an elementary school.
Well, right. I'm just saying, I don't think you call it a chokey anywhere outside of that. So I don't think anyone
outside
who
of that book, yes.
Right.
I don't, is it even called that in the book? I don't remember.
I think so, too.
I can't remember.
The chokey is the Iron Maiden's faithful companion. So,
that is true.
Anyway, so, okay, what there's more, definitely more we got to talk about in this. What else is there?
But I guess, yeah, Caitlin is the one that had hair.
Had hair.
And Valor.
Yeah.
Oh, has Valor. Had hair. I don't know what Valor is. I'm like, are you valorous?
No, Sally got the Medal of Valor. Caitlin got the Cross of Iron.
That means nothing.
Yeah,
I guess it's the one you get when you had hair. All right.
Yes.
Why did they even put three women in this?
I mean, I don't know.
What's her face?
She is a bit of a what's-her-face.
I mean, it's unfair.
It is. It really is.
She got her hair cut by the Swill Brothers, and she has no personality. It's really, yeah. They robbed her of that as well.
Yeah.
It's awful.
She was like a Samson. All her strength was in her hair, and they cut it. And now,
oh, no.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible.
But she says that she's still amazing without her hair, and I agree.
Yeah.
We just don't know.
We don't see it. I assume
she's great. She gets a medal.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. She very rarely does much in this episode, but I believe she goes on to do great things. She has a Cross of Iron.
Yeah. You can choke so many people with that.
Agreed. Yes. I mean, you could if you tried hard enough.
Okay.
I'm sure you could.
Well, I didn't want her to turn into an outlaw, but you know.
Maybe she's a vigilante. She's also a Batman.
All right. I mean, Meg does get, like, she sees the world now, and she's like, I don't just need to be a mail order bride anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I can use my money and fight crime.
Right.
She could become the new Crystal Hawks.
She could. I do wonder, because her thing, it seems like what she was escaping. We don't really find out what Sally and Caitlin were escaping, but Meg was clearly escaping a sweatshop.
But I think they all worked there.
Possibly. I don't know that it's really
because
clear.
Because I thought somebody said, I got them into this.
Yeah, they might have all been in difficult situations. They might have all been at the sweatshop. I don't think it's clear that they were all at the sweatshop. I guess, Mike, but the point that I'm making is, even if they were, regardless, we know Meg was, and she says she was making like a dollar a day. how did she get a dowry together at all? I know it's usually provided by the family, but, like, you're not working at a sweatshop if you have a family that can provide a dowry.
She saved her money.
Right. I'm saying I don't think she had any money to save. How did she get it?
She's a vigilante.
Probably.
That's what you said. She probably robbed the other people.
She never actually had a dowry. They're just assuming they would get robbed and then be able to catch the people to get steal money
and
that they've
steal
stolen.
Money from them. That's a really good scheme.
They've been doing this up and down the country.
Caitlin kept her mouth shut, and I'm thankful for that.
Yeah. Look, she's the brains of the operation, but she isn't the face.
Right.
That sounds like I'm insulting her face.
No.
I mean, like, there's a...
They're
she's
all
not
pretty,
like,
they're all pretty ladies, and it's also not about their faces.
Right. I mean...
But you mean, like...
The role of the face.
Right,
the,
right.
You know, yeah.
Like, she does the talking.
Right. Like,
and
the
Sally's
face
just
in
the
A-team.
Comic relief.
Yeah. She's distracting.
Yeah, but it's amazing she just doesn't let it slip out.
Yeah, she's... That's the thing. She's a very quick talker. She's using that to as a distraction.
They're probably going to steal the bull.
They probably. Soon as
do they ever get it back? Oh yeah, they do. They do, cuz it should get okay. We need to talk about the bull.
We do.
Finally.
Yes.
I didn't want to like go the whole episode and we've not talked about
the
brides.
The titular brides. Yeah.
There's not I feel like we've covered them. I mean, I'm disappointed that Meg had that kiss with Briscoe.
Yeah. But you know what's going to happen.
I know, but it's like Briscoe doesn't even want that kiss.
Yeah. It kind of seems that way. By the way, okay, talking about the bull, El Quinto Magnifico or El Magnifico Quinto, whichever it is, it didn't occur. I was trying to figure out, this should have been so obvious, what Quinto meant.
So five or
yeah, fifth. The fifth Magnifico. It's the fifth bull, and I was like, I didn't know. I couldn't. I was like, why is it called this? And then I was like, oh, Quinto means fifth. I like just. I was more focused on the Magnifico part, and it's like I couldn't. Quinto didn't mean anything in my brain during that while we were watching the episode, and I was like, oh, is it the fifth in the line? Is it the fifth best? But yeah, we should talk about this bull and the whole thing around it, because...
Oh, yeah, when they go and see the first pen, and, well, I love when, okay, when Senor Mendoza, like, talks about being, like, in America, I guess. It's just, like, it's just full of dust and ill manners and strange smells.
Yeah.
And then... is also, like, when he sees the, like, the pen that they've made, it's just like, what? You're gonna have our, like, super special bull sleep on the ground in the dust in the outside?
Right. Because this bull is, like, a part of the king himself.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have the king sleep in filth? Like, he's like, oh, this is, like...
Well, at least they didn't have the mayor meet them.
Yeah, that would have been very bad, considering the mayor was still, like, on the fence about eating the bull.
Mm-hmm.
Even when Socrates was like, this is terrible, we'll be an international disaster if you eat this bull. He was still like, I'll hold on to this sauce just in case you want to eat that bull. You might change your mind and you want to eat that bull. It's like, no, he's not. Though I will say, it occurs to me that mayor never comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And so I bet it's just because, like, they had that guy on set for a day because it's a cameo. So they're like, he definitely.
This is the real reason Socrates is here.
Right. Just so you don't have to, like, keep this guy on set for multiple days to be the one
who
they actually.
They don't really need a real mayor.
Right.
They can just put it in this weird town and just have Socrates there.
Right.
Oh, I want to talk about, because I wrote in the note, I just want to bring up, I really like when Briscoe calls the mine that they're in the nice, cozy mine.
Oh, mm-hmm.
When they try to sleep, but then Bowler's like, we got to save those lost ladies out there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Look, compared to being outside in the thunderstorm, I bet it's a nice, cozy mine.
I agree.
And I'm glad they mentioned it being a mine, because I remember, like, when we were watching, that like you can see through the opening to the mine, and I was just when we first I thought it was just a cave, but then I was like, what is this weird perfectly straight up and down wall on this?
Don't you remember from Minecraft?
Fair, yeah. There's some perfectly straight up and down openings in Minecraft.
I mean, it's all square, so pretty much everything is, but there's literal mine shafts that look just like that.
Yes. I'm saying
I knew. And also from other mine-related video games I played.
Fair. I'm saying from the inside, it just looked like a cave with a weird, perfectly straight up and down opening.
It's a door. It's one of John Bly's hangouts.
It could have been. But so we moved away from talking about Senor Mendoza and the bull, but I actually had more I wanted to say on his
thing. Can definitely go back.
Yeah. Because an important thing that comes up on this is that, like, not only is he upset at the idea of having this bull, which is a part of his king, sleeping in the filth, in the dirt outside, but also the king has only ever given away one other of these bulls before now, and that bull died, and the country that was being sent to, and that the king was so upset that country is now a colony of Spain.
Yikes.
Yeah, like, it is a big deal if something happens to this bull that the mayor was planning to eat. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm still, though, a bit confused about the line that ends the scene related to that. When Socrates, like, promises they're going to have a better pen for it, it's going to have much better accommodations and everything. And Mendoza's response is, I hope so. That is, if you don't want dear mother knocking on your back door. What?
Because it's a sister city.
Uh-huh.
Madrid? Or like, do they mean like Britain?
No, I think they mean like Mother Spain.
Yeah.
I guess. It just is an odd line, I guess.
I mean, maybe it's controversial. That's why I thought that maybe it was of a gay joke that was not okay.
Oh. I did not take it that way at all.
Because of the, like, lisp.
Yeah,
because the person has.
It sounds like, it seems
like they're trying to
like
say
a lisp,
something.
But it's not,
not a lisp.
Yeah.
But there could be some other totally reasonable one, but my mind's just like, because
I feel like in 1993, you didn't hear people using the phrase backdoor that way.
No, I don't think so either.
So
I'm just saying that's just an idea had.
Yeah,
Let's hope it's not that one.
Yeah, I'm saying I can absolutely see it. My bet would be that it's not.
But yeah, I guess it's just to say, like, don't mess up or Spain will take over California.
I guess that would be a pretty difficult invasion on Spain's part. But, you know, I've seen shows do more elaborate things that don't make any sense. So, like, war things that don't make any sense. So, you know, maybe that's what he's threatening.
I don't think it's going to matter.
No, I think it's going to be perfectly fine.
We'll see. We'll see in a couple episodes when this bull is barbecue, I guess.
Yep. I'm sure we'll go back to this and check on this bull again. And it's going to be plot relevant.
Well, we got the Swill Brothers again.
I mean, that's fair. That's fair.
May
we did.
Could show up.
Could show up. It could. We should talk about Briscoe and everyone show up at Ma's house.
Yeah, I was gonna say we should talk about, like, Ma's house and how, like, when the Swill Brothers show. I like the mom is clearly the only brains, like, left.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
And when I don't remember. Who's the like head guy? Is it Bill? Phil?
Will.
Will.
Phil is the one with the burned face and the hurt ear. Will okay. is the leader, and Bill is the kind of just bigger but dumb one.
Okay.
They're all dumb, but like the bigger one.
Okay, so, but the mom is very much like, that plan isn't going to work,
right.
and you're dumb, but you're the best we have, and I love my boys.
Yep.
So, good luck. Here's mm-hmm. a better plan.
Yeah.
Is there, okay, I do not understand. Yeah, they definitely ride in the town, like Briscoe and Bowler and mm-hmm. the brides.
Yep.
And then she's kind of hostile to them.
Right. Because she's
guarding Moonshine, but she must know that it's Briscoe County Jr.
I don't think she does. I don't think she does until, because she...
Well, they even ask her, like, have you seen these people?
Right.
It's... So she would know that's her sons.
Right. She puts her gun down when he identifies himself as Briscoe. So I feel like she makes a plan then, which is weird because I'm like, you have your guns trained on him, and it's clear later they're planning to kill them. Why put your gun down when you find out they're the guy you want to kill to set up this elaborate, like, firing squad? Why not just shoot him? But then again, that's true of most stories like this, like where the criminal's just like, well, I could kill you now, or I could make a really elaborate way to kill you that you can get out of. And yeah, like, gives them time to go investigate and find out where
they just run away from the scene, like, that's the swill wagon.
Right.
Let's go investigate.
Right.
Now we're kidnapped and tied up and being shot at. I mean, Briscoe escaped a, like, Wheel of Fortune hatchet game.
Yep. And Pete's, like, Wild West show wet rawhide trap.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, he survives a lot of pretty elaborate stuff.
Multiple trains, multiple
He survived having his arms being ripped off by a train. Which absolutely happened, and then he was okay.
Yeah, he went to see the professor and glued him back on. Right. It's totally fine. The Spanky
sisters built him new arms, and he was fine.
Oh, cool. He's the next coming thing.
He's the next coming thing. Run. He's coming.
He's the coming. Mechanical man. He's also like...
He's the forever coming thing.
He's like RoboCop and the Terminator. Like, I'm assuming they showed that tank because he's going to end up with the tank bottom. And maybe a motorcycle somehow. Maybe the motorcycle bottom.
Maybe.
And then a tank top. A tank top! That's it.
You know, I was about to say a thing about, and then I realized, like, that's a bit of a spoiler for this show. So.
You know a spoiler for the show?
I have seen a still from a later episode that if I were to reference it, it absolutely would be a spoiler for the show. So I'm not going to say.
Yeah, don't say it because I don't want to know.
Briscoe becomes a Terminator. So.
Does he do the, like, thumbs up as he's melting in the thing?
Yeah, he gets tied to an anchor and thrown into some quicksand and gives a thumbs up as he sinks down.
No, Comet would save him.
Comet's gonna hoof up Alto as he goes down. He's fine. Comet's fine. That face. I see that face.
No!
Comet's fine.
I'm just like, Briscoe can go down, but like, not Comet. It's not true. But if Bowler's safe, I'm fine.
So, Okay, we got to talk about the when they have him have Bowler and Briscoe tied up. They're going to do the firing squad. The elaborate way they get out of this thing is just...
Your explanation of it was great.
This legit is like a full-on Bugs Bunny escape.
Yeah, like, oh, can't we have a last request?
Yeah.
Oh, I need a drink.
Yeah.
From this exact person. Obviously nothing shady going on here.
Right. Which, I love the, like, this is such a, like, legitimately funny, but also ridiculous moment. He's like, from her. And they're like, her? Her? Yeah, her. Her. Her? Her? Like, they just go back and forth so many times
Yeah, they do.
And it's like, it's funny, but it's so weird. It's
really weird.
And somehow, she knows exactly what to do, which is to go back.
I don't know what to do in my very own kitchen. Sometimes, and the fact that she's never even been here and knows how to do all this is just amazing to me.
Like, there is absolutely no... It's not like he gives any kind of signal that means anything or anything like that.
He does one of those baseball things.
Oh, does... Like a... Okay, I didn't actually
see... No, he doesn't.
Oh, I thought you were telling me he actually did.
No, his hands are tied up, aren't they?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I thought you were telling me a thing I hadn't seen. Like, he
had... I was just making it up. Like, okay. How they, you know, do the, like, two and, like, a thumbs up and a blink and a...
Okay.
Shadow puppet.
Like, he would have to for that to make any... this to make any sense.
Well, they would have to arrange that ahead of time. They don't know that.
Right. Because what she does, is what she just immediately knows to do, is take a cup back to the moonshine still. Which is like a giant pole to, like, I'm guessing fill, like, moonshine barrels. Turns it on, fills the cup, and just lets it run for a long time. So it's just overflowing enough to make a stream all the way from... It just got very windy here, so if you're hearing a weird sound, that's what that is. Anyway, she lets the moonshine run... overflowing from the cup long enough to leave a whole stream of moonshine, like a solid stream of moonshine from the still to all the way, like, through the crowd, basically almost to where Briscoe and Bowler are. Because she just knows to do that and then leaves the still on, just sort of pouring. And then Briscoe has to tell Bowler he wants a last smoke from a cigar, even though Bowler doesn't smoke.
I love this sort of, like, hey, obviously there's some stuff over there, Bowler, you need to pay attention to as you love smoking.
Right.
And then he legitimately, like, learns how to, like, smoke a cigarette without hands being involved rather fast.
Mm-hmm.
And then is able to, like, spit it, like, 700 meters.
Yeah. But, like, this legitimately feels, like, when I said it was a Bugs Bunny thing, I feel like him being like, you want to smoke? No, you want to smoke. You want to smoke. You should have a smoke. Like, feels like a thing from one of those cartoons. Like.
And also, why doesn't everyone else just blow? I guess everyone does blow up.
Yeah, like, there's a huge explosion. Everyone gets blasted away. And in that time, the... Meg has time to untie Briscoe and Bowler, and everybody has time to run away.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really, like, elaborate escape. It's almost at the level of throwing dynamite to blow up a gasoline fire to get blasted out of a cave.
That cave wasn't cozy.
It was not cozy. Okay. Should we jump to the kidnapping and the bull thing?
Yeah, because the only other thing I think that, like, happens before that is, like, Meg sort of has that moment with Briscoe where she gets the encouraging speech of, like, do you really want to, like, get married to some stranger you don't know? Like, it feels like you have there's more for you to do out there in the world. And she's just like, I just want to have smooches with you, Briscoe.
I'm a lady and I can only think about smooching Bruce Campbell.
I mean, fair. I want to smooch Bruce Campbell back then.
I started the show legitimately rolling my eyes about Bruce Campbell and have now grown to like Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
So.
By the way, I've somehow never remembered to mention this on the show, but I think this is a legitimately interesting thing from that autobiography.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
About getting the part on this show.
Mm-hmm.
So when he got the audition for this show, he didn't think he had a very good chance because, like, people didn't really know who he was. And this is, like, the big show for Fox. And he's like, they're going to go with somebody bigger. I need to make an impression. So he decided to use some of his physical comedy skills or whatever and whatever that he had. And one of the first things he did in the audition was a full, like, backflip and landed on his back on the floor. And people were like, whoa, what was what? But that wasn't made enough of an impression on the casting people.
Wait, is he that seems like he failed the backflip.
No, that was intentional. That's what he was trying to do.
Uh-huh.
To show that he could do that sort of like, because he knew it was both comedy, but it was going to be a physical role. So he wanted to show that he could do a thing where it was like a very big, elaborate thing.
Uh-huh.
And, but like, fully like embody it.
Did they?
And it made such an impression that he got the call back and his manager was like, you're going to do that backflip thing again, right? And he was like, I guess I am. And he did it again for the new people. And he got another. And, but like, this was such a big show. There's like audition after audition after audition.
Oh my gosh,
audition.
He had to backflip a million times?
Every time. Every time he had to,
okay,
had to audition.
Okay, do you think this was just like a long con to get Bruce Campbell to backflip a million times?
Maybe, I don't know. But it was just like, it made such an impression the
and
first time. That
they're
like,
just like, yeah, we need to have another interview with you. Wink, wink, wink. Yeah, so we've heard a lot from other people definitely involved in the project about some backflip that we definitely need to see.
It could be, I don't know. I just think that's a very interesting story. Like, that's how he got, that's basically how he got the part.
I think,
like,
you could get any job by doing a backflip.
Mm-hmm. That's how I got my job. I was very badly injured. They didn't want to want me to sue, so they gave me the job. That's absolutely not true. I need to be very clear. That's absolutely not true. That did not happen.
No, he just tripped. Okay, I can't believe they so easily kidnap the bull or like do this. They just like go and punch the guards and then take the bull. But I don't actually. It's funny because they're like, oh, we're holding this woman hostage in this whole situation, but and it's very dramatic in the show. But wouldn't they just be like, yeah, whatever?
Who?
I don't know. Like, there's not even a sheriff anymore. Or was that the mayor? There's a sheriff.
The sheriff and the mayor, they were both part of the cameos.
Oh, they're both gone.
They're both
so
gone, yeah. But there is, like, an entire Spanish army there. So.
Oh, yeah. That's
someone
true.
Cares, and someone's going to do something because of the bull. Which, that reminds me, like, that was one of the things I really like once they've kidnapped Sally and they have the bull and they're both in that pen and Briscoe's like, I'm gonna go in there unarmed, I'm gonna do what I have to do to get them out, and Senor Mendoza is like, finally somebody who understands the importance of El Quinto Magnifico, and Briscoe's just like, who the heck's that? Like, he doesn't care about a bull, he cares about like Sally.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
That was a really good part, yeah.
I will say, like, criminals in this show, they don't believe in planning. They have some really elaborate plans and then don't actually plan them.
Well, okay, but the Swole Brothers, I get. What about Pete? Was Pete hanging out with the Swole Brothers?
I don't think Pete ever hung out with the Swole Brothers.
No. Though, I miss Pete.
Me too. We haven't seen Pete in a while. We're going to get some Pete in there.
Yep.
But like the Swole Brothers, they get in there and it's only when they're in the pen that they realize they don't know how to get a bull into the cattle cart. Like, where they have to be like, I think you use a red blanket or something.
Oh, yeah. And they're going to like... Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, the red doesn't matter. The red's for the audience at a bullfight.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just more dramatic.
Uh-huh.
The bull just doesn't like the motion.
Isn't the bullfight to stab the bull?
I mean, that is a part of it. Like, but when the matador is doing the stuff with the blanket, the cape.
Uh-huh.
The redness is just for the audience so they can see it better. The bull doesn't like the motion. It sees that flapping motion and doesn't like it.
But isn't it trained to not like it?
No, it's just reacting to the very like the big dramatic movement of this thing. And it's
I probably wouldn't like that either.
Yeah. It gets agitated by it and is trying to attack it. But it doesn't matter.
It's probably because
it
just want to be in the dirt.
Possibly.
It's like, I deserve better than this. Like, how dare you put me in this dirt and disgrace me? I am going to fight you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mad about this dirt. I enjoy the idea of cows being mad about dirt.
It's like, I wanted grass.
I mean, they probably do want grass.
Yeah. I'm sure they do. Oh, a thing that I wanted to mention during the kidnapping part is that...
No goats were kidnapped. No goats were harmed in the making of this episode because it's a kid and it's a man. Never mind.
It's when Briscoe's like, it's going to take some time to find $1 million. You're going to have to give me a minute. And Will's like, forget it. You've got 60 seconds.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty good.
I enjoyed
that. And then also when they talk about $1 million, he's like, what about $10,000? That's and he's like, is that close to a million?
yeah,
obviously.
Totally close. Remarkable that when the bull goes into ye olde China shop, it doesn't damage anything on the way in or the way out. Just clearly sounds like it destroys everything inside.
Well, it has really wide doorways in and out.
It does. Two different
prams.
You don't see a lot of Western shops that have two entrances like
you
this.
You do? You see taverns.
Taverns usually still just have the one entrance.
Knowledge comes from video game Western towns.
Uh-huh.
But some of those have two different entrances. Or they'll have like a back door where Mother Spain could show up at any moment.
Okay, but this is two doors going on really far apart on either side of the store on the same street. Like,
what,
facing the same
three
way.
Doors down?
That would be a different place. That wouldn't be the China shop anymore. It's where you buy your kryptonite.
I do think it's funny they make the bull go in the China shop.
I do, too. I do, too.
So yeah. Silly.
It is. Also, I like how it's ye olde China shop. Like, that's not a thing that was happening in, like, you don't see a lot of Western shops that say, like, ye olde.
Ye old. It's not, is it old E?
I'm saying it that way to be clear that there is an E at the end of
old,
okay. In case you weren't sure from me saying ye old.
Yeah, there's only one, you have to put an E after ye.
Right.
Well, yes.
Well, yeah. Which, by the way, wasn't even pronounced ye. It's pronounced the.
Oh, really?
The ye in, when you say, see a ye old.
It's just
it's a different letter that was used to be pronounced as a TH. That was a letter that meant TH.
Oh, like S?
What? Oh. Yes, exactly. Yeah, that was just how you wrote a TH sound, so it was the old.
Yeah, but I want to say ye.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I will forever pronounce that ye.
But I also thought you were gonna say that it meant like it was pronounced something else, and you were gonna say like ye.
Ye.
Yeet old.
Understandable. Yeah, probably. That's absolutely.
I mean, some stuff went yeeting inside.
Some stuff got yeeted. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, you mentioned the good chapter titles, and then we didn't say them.
Yeah, I don't write it down.
We almost never say the chapter titles. This show always has two chapters, and they're usually pretty good. I enjoyed these ones. There were For Whom the Bull Tolls, and Relief from the Bullpen.
Oh. What a beautiful game.
Indeed. Indeed. I don't know that I have anything else that I wanted to talk about with this. Except it is weird to me that the King of Spain just shows up at the end to give these medals.
I don't think that's him.
I think it is, because it's not Mendoza. And he's got all kinds of, like, finery on that make him look much more elaborate than Mendoza.
I don't really understand this at all, and I don't understand why Briscoe and Bowler don't get medals.
Because they did good, too. But, like, Sally and Caitlin took out one of the Swole brothers. Meg took out one of the Swole brothers. We know that happened. They are the ones that actually knocked out the Swole brothers. I don't remember what happened to Bill. I don't remember who got Bill.
Me neither.
But also, Briscoe and Bowler, like, two episodes ago, each got $500,000. They don't need any medals. They could each buy half of this bull.
Yeah, he got something better than a medal. Bowler did.
Mm-hmm.
He got a nice little compliment from Sally.
He sure did.
And it made him do that cute little laugh he does, and I like it.
Yes, I do really like when he does that little laugh.
Yeah, I find it to be, like, warm and joyful.
Mm-hmm. You know what just occurred to me? I don't know what else this actor has done, Julius Carey.
I know, and I haven't looked him up. Because I don't want to, like, spoil myself on anything.
I do, because I just like him so much.
I like him too, but I'm also like, please be okay.
I want to believe that he is. I'm saying I'm curious to look some things up because I want to believe that he's going to.
Yeah, I want to watch other things.
Yeah.
I really like him, so.
Yeah. I feel like I have seen something else, some other stuff with him, but I just can't, like, place it right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been able to the entire. We've been doing this for months at this point, and I've never occurred to me to look it up or remembered what those things are.
How many more episodes do we have? Like 10?
This was 14, so maybe 10 or 11? Yeah.
That's so much more plot. Yeah. We only got 13 episodes of Freaky Link. So, like, think about how much has happened in the 13 episodes, and now we're getting, like, another 13, essentially. Not exactly, but we're getting, like, that was, like, half of the season. So now we're really getting this, like, whole fleshed out.
Yeah. To be fair, if Freaky Links hadn't been canceled after 8 episodes and was going to make it to 24, we would probably have a similar... I believe we would have a similar amount of plot.
Yes.
It was just that, like, after 8, they decided there's no point in us...
Yeah.
...building on the plot.
Right.
So they just abandoned it, and they had fun with 5 episodes.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, we have way more of the overarching plot in these 14 episodes than we had in Freaky Links.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Okay. Anything else you wanted to say on this?
I made one note.
Okay.
Well, not...
You made one note for the whole episode.
No, I made, like, a side note talking about how this had some real Briscoe things in it that, to me, becomes synonymous with the show a bit, and especially, like, you know, there's caves, there's jails, Bowler.
Sure, yeah.
Flamethrower. We didn't even talk about how there's a flamethrower. There was a fire gun. Mom was firing
mm-hmm.
stuff up.
Yep.
Also explosions.
Yeah.
It had it all. It had all the good things.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it had a very big explosion for an episode that actually didn't have any dynamite.
I know, right?
Like, a lot of episodes featured dynamite.
Did it not have dynamite?
No, that was the moonshine still that blew up.
Well, I was just like, are we sure it didn't have dynamite somewhere?
I don't think so.
But to me, now that it seems like Bowler's going to be in all the episodes, but who knows? And then...
they're officially partners now. So I think he's just in the episodes now.
Okay, good.
There might be ones that he's not in for whatever reason. Like, you know, occasionally Socrates isn't in one, so I could see him not being in an episode. But I think he's just in the show now. They are officially partners, so all because of Dixie. I'd like to point out, all because of Dixie.
She's a matchmaker.
Yeah. Just saying, she's the reason we've got permanent bowler. Got a long-term bowler, all because of Dixie.
Sounds really weird.
I know. That's why I said that.
Like, out of context is the strangest thing.
Yep. That's the idea.
Don't forget your bowler. Don't worry. Mine's permanent. All thanks to Dixie.
Yeah, when everyone else is, like, doing, like, tattooed makeup, I got a permanently grafted on bowler. All right. Anyway, is there anything else you want to say on this?
Stay kind to each other. Don't forget to water your horses and watch out for runaway brides. You know?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't mean like watch out, like watch out.
I mean, maybe watch out. They almost ran over Bowler.
That's true.
All right. Well, with that poignant bit of advice, this has been episode 14, The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr., and this is TGIF Arcade saying, till next week, I'll be waiting for you, Brisk.
A Different Direction is a TGIF Arcade production. You can contact the podcast at diffdirectionpod on Twitter or email us at differentdirection@tgifarcade.com. You can also find information about everything that TGIF Arcade produces by following us at TGIF Arcade on Twitter. Thanks for listening.